Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you. I don't know if any of you have been affected by the rain. Have you? We had drip, drip, drip coming through the ceiling, through where the light fitting is. And we put the bucket out, but it was like a big container. And it was filling up, and then next thing, the drip drip turned into almost like a stream flowing through the ceiling. And so it wasn't drips anymore, it was just one constant flow of water. And this is from the rain, and you think, oh my word, what's going on up there? You'd think a pipe had broken, it was that much coming through. And so I had to crawl up into the attic and crawl along the sort of beams and little cobwebs and dust and everything. And I got right to the end and I heard water and I looked. And then I found this water running through and I thought, oh, what do I do with that, you know? Because in our house it's old tiled and you can see the tiles and you can see light coming through various points. And so I'm up there lying on these beams and all the cobwebs. And I stretch out to this thing and I just touched it. This tile. I didn't do anything. I thought, well, what can I? I just touched it and the water stopped. It was like a miracle. I'm not claiming a miracle, but it was. I thought, well, I haven't really done anything. I just touched it and the water just stopped. And I was shouting to Viv. I said, has the water stopped downstairs? And it had. It was just dripping by then because it was still a wet ceiling inside. But it was quite a strange experience just to touch this tile. It wasn't obviously anything because I still don't know what happened. I must have moved something I don't even know if I saw it move. You know, when I touched it, it must have. But it was good that it stopped. And we haven't had rain dropping through it since, have we? But we will get our tiles checked. Always a smart move. The starting point though is, and we've had a lot of rain. The rain, well, the title is, I'll pick it up better later. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. Okay, that's in Matthew 5:45. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. And as I thought about what I was going to say, I thought about this verse. And thinking about society and the world, I thought about people and the things that go on and watching films and various things. And what we'd like to see, I think, speak for myself, the sort of bad criminals out there, something happening to them. So that person over there, you know, they struck by lightning and that's the end of them. And perhaps that sort of evil person over there, you know, they get something and die, you know. And this person over here, that's me, to be blessed with every good blessing. Yeah? Perhaps that's not how you think, but, you know, it must be how a lot of people think because you've got all the superhero films and everyone wants justice and they want to see them sorted out and they want the bad guys to get done. And perhaps, you know, a bolt of lightning is the business, isn't it? Burn them to bits. And there's something in us that and it affects how we think because, you know, as we move on from that, perhaps we think good things should happen to the good and bad things happen to the bad. It's what we'd like to see. So I'm going to look at, and just the other week I was, as I do, listening to my Bible and I heard this bit being read out, and it sort of really struck me. Now I'll read it to you. And it's Philippians 2, verse 25. I'll read it until I sort of stop. But I think it is necessary to send, or maybe I'll read a bit more than that. I think as Paul, he's in a sort of, I'm guessing he's in a bit of a tricky situation. Perhaps he's in prison. I haven't really looked into it fully because I was just following it through. But let's say he's in prison. So I'll start at 19 actually. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. So they used to be, he'd be stuck somewhere and he'd have to send messengers. You know, we pick the phone up, but they would have to send someone who's going to sail across the ocean, travel through the mountains to come and pass the news on to you. Perhaps you carried a letter. And then if they wanted to send news back, they'd send us someone who would have to travel all the way back, you know, catch a ship and catch a horse or whatever and travel all the way back. And it might be months, mightn't it? It's not like pick the phone up or write a letter. It was months before you got news. And this is how it was. So he hopes to send Timothy. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. So Timothy's a loyal helper to Paul. I hope therefore to send him as soon as I see how things go for me. So, you know, when it's the right moment, I'll send him, you know, when things pick up perhaps. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. So, you know, he's hoping his circumstances change. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier. And this is the bit, this next bit is the bit that sort of struck me. It's a little bit that you just pass over. So he's his fellow worker and helper, messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. So they had sent, the Philippian church had sent this chap to look after Paul, help him out, maybe, I don't know what, get food for him, perhaps, you know, I don't know what really, write letters for him. I'm not sure how he helped, but he was a helper for him to look after his needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. So this chap who's helping Paul is upset because the word has got back to his church that they found out that he's ill. So he's worried that they're worried. Yeah? He's worried that they're worried. And he's concerned that they're concerned. And he wants to go and see them and say, I'm all right, don't worry. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. And when I heard that, I thought, that's a strange one, isn't it? So this church sends this messenger to look after Paul, but this messenger gets ill and almost dies. Strange, isn't it? Why would God allow that? That's odd. Why would God allow that? So this church sends a messenger who almost dies. The bit that struck me, though. But God had mercy on him. So God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. So he's got better, and Paul's feeling better that he's got better. And what it struck me, though, that Paul is in prison. This man is sent from the Philippian church to help him. But this man becomes seriously ill and almost dies. And as I thought, gosh, you know, Paul, he didn't live in the world of, I'm a Christian, so it must all go right for me. Paul lived in the world where it was God's mercy if things turned out good. Do you see what I mean? So we might think, well, if I'm a Christian, everything's going to go good for me and it's all going to go well. But it's not like that. That isn't how it is. Bad stuff happens. And we get caught up in the bad stuff. And when I looked at this whole story, I just thought it was amazing that this character, Paul, he kind of expected things to go wrong. Or I don't know if he expected it, but it wasn't that he didn't expect things to go wrong. Things went wrong all the time. But it was God's mercy to bring him through it. Do you see? God brought them through it. And on another occasion, you know, Paul says, if I live, I live for Christ. And if I die, it's gain. I go to be with him. It's a win-win situation. That's how he saw it. and whether it was a shipwreck or whatever, I live now for Christ, I die for Christ. And that was his sort of outlook. So I see this chap almost dying, but he was doing God's work. You know, he went to serve. If we went to serve Paul, we know Paul because he's in the Bible, don't we? He's one of the greatest characters in our Bible. And Paul was an amazing character. Now, if it was someone living in nowadays and something bad happened, we might be thinking, yeah, well, see, perhaps he's not really on God's mission because that happened to him. And that man who went to look after him, he's probably not in the will of God. That's why he's sick. Do you see how we might work it out? Because when we see things, we can be quick to make a judgment on it. You know, was Paul's in prison? Is he in the will of God? What would we say? Is he in the will of God? I think we'd probably say he is. But, you know, Paul is in prison serving Christ. Strange place to be, isn't it? This man comes to help this man in prison, and he ends up almost dying. Is this man in the will of God? Yeah. And sometimes we can quickly look at the negative side and build on a negative when bad things happen. And we can be quick to look at that side of things. Now, there is another place where bad stuff does happen because of what we do. And we can make poor decisions that cause things. You know, if I had a tire on my car that I knew needed to be changed and I thought, no, I won't change it, and I have a blowout somewhere down the motorway, I could have sort of stopped that happening. Other things happen that we have no control over. And sometimes we can make decisions that are not good, and we can land ourselves in a mess. And, you know, we put our hands up to that. But other times, we just get caught up in the circumstance of what's going on. And of course, we say it all the time, we're in a spiritual battle. But whether we believe it, I don't know. But when you're in a spiritual battle, there is an enemy that is having a go. And I heard a preacher saying this week, he said, they did a series on Job. And he was actually a bit concerned because he said, do you know, I sometimes think when you talk on a subject, you get tested on a subject. And he actually warned his leaders to be wary of bad things happening within the church because they were doing a series on Job. And if you read Job, you'll see what I'm talking about. And, you know, it's real. You know, good stuff happens, bad stuff happens. And how quick we can become negative when we see something bad happen to someone. And we can read into it very quickly, the negative. Well, perhaps they're not doing the will of God, perhaps that. Because if we're doing the will of God, everything's going to go swimmingly. That's how we think, see, don't we? We think it's all going to work out. It's all going to work out nice. If we're doing God's will, everything will be good. But if we're not doing God's will, then things will go wrong. So like God's up there, poking us around, making us do this and that, and like he's got strings on us, and, oh, come on, get over this way. He might do things, but you have to know that, because otherwise Paul would have been in prison, and he would be questioning everything about himself, wouldn't he? And Paul was a character that used to dish out the persecution. He knew how to put people into prison. He knew what it was all about. He knew it was real. And he knew what to expect because he was now on the other side. He used to dish it out. Now he was receiving it. So Paul knew what came. And he understood that there was a bit of a battle going on. You know, he was on one side and he swapped to the other. And he knew there was an enemy, that's Satan, who's trying to disrupt what he was doing. Satan is trying to destroy what God wanted. And so sometimes things can come to throw us off our route. But we are living in a fallen world as well, a broken world, and bad stuff happens. And I don't think, I know some people say, I wouldn't like to say it, but Lord, bring, give us persecution to sort the church out. I don't want to say that because I wouldn't want that. I'd rather live as we are, you know, in peace, because it says pray for peace. Pray for your governments that you live in peace. And that's what I would prefer, actually. But Paul expected trouble. He was a Christian. He was probably right at the forefront of God's plans, but he expected trouble all the time. And but he knew he had to keep going. He had to keep going. He couldn't stop because this happened or that happened. And each time something bad happened, he'd look at himself and go, maybe I'm not doing the right thing. Every time something happened, he just had to keep going. And he knew he had to keep going. And if he was spared, he served Jesus. And if he died, he went to be with Jesus. That was his outlook. That was Paul's outlook all the time. If something bad happens, if I die, I go to be with Jesus. But if I live, I carry on. We're not sort of in that sort of frontline zone, I don't think. But that's how he was. But maybe if you lived in Pakistan, Iran, Saudi Arabia, any of those countries, you would really feel that frontline position. But we might have things happen differently here. And when I looked at Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, it goes like this. This is what Paul lists off that he's been through. Remember now, he's probably the closest follower. You know, he's really up there as a follower of Christ. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. That means he was whipped 39 times. And they did it 39. He was supposed to have 40. They held one back because if they went over, they got one back themselves. So they wouldn't want to get whipped once. So they counted one short, so they were safe. So count one short, you didn't get one whip. But he got 39 whips. How many times? He got whipped 5 times. He had it. This happened to him 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. So that was another 3 other occasions he was beaten with rods. He was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Can you imagine? And it says, a night and a day I have spent in the deep. So he must have spent a day and a night perhaps floating on a couple of planks in the middle of the ocean. You'd really question your following God perhaps if you're in that place, mightn't you? Or maybe you wouldn't. But that's where he was, floating in the sea on a bit of wood, thinking, help God, help me. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, his own, you know, everywhere you look, it's like drastic. Dangers from the Gentiles, dangers from the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers amongst false brethren. Every side he looked on, he was living in danger. And he just carried on. But he expected trouble, didn't he? And then I think of all those things, and I just think, I don't know how we would look at that situation and see this man. You know, if this preacher was going somewhere and you weren't sure about him, then you heard he had a car crash, what would you think? You'd be thinking, maybe God didn't want him to get there. That's how you might think. Maybe God didn't want him to get there. But why was Paul shipwrecked? Did God want him to get there? Or was it he was just at the mercy of what was going on? Yeah? You know, because he got shipwrecked on a few occasions. He probably had to wade across big streams or rivers. I once tried to cross in a river once with my brothers, and the tide was coming, it was either coming in or going out, and the current there was, it frightened me, and I was a little kid, and I could feel this water sort of pulling up my legs, and I was just glad to get across it. And I think, you know, when in these days we think of rivers, but you know, they probably had to cross flooded, when you see it on the news, flooded rivers, they're a dangerous place, you know, they sweep you away. and he had to cross rivers and everything just to reach people. So what I'm really trying to say is, as a Christian, we can't just expect everything to go swimmingly, whatever we do. Good stuff happens and bad stuff happens, and it affects us all. We need to have a look, because if God is trying to say something to us, we need to examine ourselves. But if not, do you know, we live in a broken, crumbling world. And as we get older, our bodies crumble, don't they? Yeah, they do. They break down. Eventually, they stop working. It's all part of the curse of this world. And we're in it. We're in a broken world and bad stuff happens. And as Christians in Britain, we have it good, really, because we live in an abnormal time. Because if you look at the history of the church, most of the time the church lives in persecution or in trouble. But we actually, for the last however many years in Britain, have lived in a good time. But there's many churches around the world that live in persecution. That's normal for the church history. So places like Pakistan, Iran, that's normal for church history. You just look at European church history and just see that nearly all the time the church suffered. We live in a very special time. And I'm going to... And what did Jesus say? He said this, and because I thought, you know, this is what we need to focus on. Both Ian and Irma got up, and great words, because this is what we need to hear. And Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And that's what we need to keep in our hearts. That's what Irma was trying to say up here. Keep your eyes on Jesus when you go through the good and the bad. It's good and the bad. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because Jesus says, go, and that's what Paul was doing, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. That's going about your Christian business. And I'll be with you all the time. And when he says to the end of the age, it means until he comes back again. He'll be with you. And so in the good, thank God that he's with you in the good. In the bad, thank him and call on him. That's what Ian was saying. Yeah, and it starts with always being thankful to God. We don't have to be thankful. Thank you, God, that I've had a car crash. We don't say that. Thank you that you saved me in the car crash. That's what we say. Don't thank you, God, for the leak in my roof. That's great. No, we don't say that. We say thank you, Lord, that I've been able to fix it. Do you see what I mean? We don't thank him. We don't have to thank him for them, you know, thank you for the blowout, Lord. Well, you might thank him if it saved your life because you've missed hitting that tree. But you know what I mean? There's a sort of sense to it. You don't thank you for the bad stuff, but we thank you for bringing me through the bad stuff. And I am with you to the end of the age. So all those times we can call upon him. And where I started, where did I start? Back to the beginning. "But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." That's where I started. The rain falls on the good and the bad, the sun shines on. And what it's saying, it's not saying it as a bad thing. We might think the rain's a bad thing. It's actually God's blessing is on both good and bad. God's blessing is on the good and the bad. And we think, why is that then? Why would God? And that's what Jesus said. Because what Jesus is saying to us, pray for those that you don't like. Pray for those people that you don't get on with. Pray for that awkward neighbor. Pray for those people around you, because actually I care for them, because I care for them because I look after them with rain and sun. And if I care for them, you should care for them, is what he's saying. That's the message. If I care for them, and that's why it goes on to say, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? And he goes, you know, you're just doing no different to anyone else if you do that. That's what everyone thinks. You know, they should get zapped and they should be blessed. No, we've got to go a step beyond that. We have to pray for those who we might think are against us. We have to love those that perhaps don't love us. That's the message, because God cares about them, and we don't need to want to zap them. We want them to be blessed, because God is actually willing to give his reign, his blessing, to those bad guys as he is to you good guys. And if God has that kind of attitude, so should we. So in a sense, you know, go into all the world, be preaching, and take that with you. I am with you. And last week, we went to Wales. And Viv and myself, we went into this church. And there were probably, I don't know, were this many people in this church in Wales. I haven't been to this church before. I heard 100 years ago it was all Welsh speaking. But it wasn't that night we went. And as we sat there, sat right near the back, and I knew the person in front of me. It's the home bit of my town that I come from. And I sat there and looked around. And over on that side over there at the back were a group of teenagers. You know, they'd just been at the door having their cigarettes and messing around. And then they were sitting at the back there messing around. I look over that side, and over in that area there, there's a group of young women. And then in traipse all these boys. They were about men. Yeah, men. I guess it's just the Welsh thing, boys. All these men walked in. They were probably in their 20s to 30s. All these men walked in. I would say there were 15 of them. The congregation doubled in size when they all walked in. They took up all the front three rows in front of us. And I'm thinking, look, all these, you know, all these young men just all traipse in, you know, tattoos on the back of the neck and all this kind of thing. And I'm thinking, hello, what's going on here? And so afterwards, you know, we go through the service, and in the service, so they start off and they say, we're going to have a testimony. And so one lady comes up, can't remember all the details, but I think it goes something like, I used to be a drug addict and a prostitute, and now I'm working, you know, since I found the Lord, or the Lord's found me, I can't remember. I'm now working in a home to help these girls with a similar problem. I think she was ex-offender, wasn't she? All ex-offenders. So she was helping people who come out of prison with all these drugs and so then they say, we're going to have another test. Yep, gets the next girl. Oh, yes, I've been a heroin addict since I was it 16? For 18 years, but now I've found the Lord. And I've become a Christian, and so on and so forth. And then this lady that I know from, I've known her for years, she says to me, well, we're talking afterwards, and she said, the young men over there, the ones that were sort of messing around, they're just boys off the street. There were some girls, some boys, a gang of youngsters that used to mess around, but they wondered what we were doing in this building, sort of painting around. So now they sort of hang around and come in and sit at the back. But they all traipsed out halfway through, just when the preaching starts, they all traipsed out, dup, dup, dup. They've gone. But they heard the testimony, and I'm thinking, that's great. And they were the lady told me, she said, when they first came, we had the song sheets because we didn't have a projector. What do they do with the song sheets? Paper aeroplanes with them and threw them around. So that's these youngsters. But they put up with them. And what are these boys? All of them are ex-offenders. All been to prison. For what reasons? Various reasons. They're all young men who've been to prison. They've come out of prison. This church runs or is part of a home to try and get them back on the straight and narrow. They're not made to become Christian, but they've all become Christian. So those 15 young men were in there, sitting there, have made a decision to follow Jesus. And it was just lovely to see, because, you know, I take an interest in the in the town, and you know, it's kind of a, there's not, sadly, there's more opportunity for work here than there is there. So you think it's going to be double hard for these boys, because, you know, you're in an unemployment black spot, coming out of prison. You know, it's not a good future, really. At least here you'd find, you've got more chance of finding work here. You, there you've got, it's much worse. But I thought, here's a church that have taken the sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous, and they want to serve and help these people that, let's go back 2 or 3 or 4 years, we would want to see them zapped. You know, these are the, wouldn't it be nice if a lightning bolt struck them kind of people. And you think, but actually God cares for each of those 15 young men. God loves them. We haven't actually got to that stage of loving them, or I haven't, you see what I mean? But somehow they've been taken under the wing of this church and they've become Christians. And it was lovely to see this in action. And for both of us, Viv and myself, we really found that a blessing and an encouragement just to see. And I'm not saying that we as a church have to do that, but it's the outworking of the gospel, the outworking of the gospel, that we pray for those, the unloved. We pray for those that we have got nothing in common with. We pray for those who, I don't know, well, the Bible calls them your enemies. It doesn't have to mean, it could mean that they are on your case. It could be a grumpy neighbour. And it could just be that person that you think, oh, I wouldn't mind a lightning bolt striking them. It could be that. And you just think, these are what we call to. It's easy to pray for my brother or my sister or my friend who I really like, who's hurt. But what about that awkward character over there, or that sort of, I wouldn't want to be sort of too close to that person. And that's really part of our mission, isn't it? That's part of who we've got to be as believers, that we need to see the love of, because actually it says, when it says that, those verses, it says, be perfect as your Father is perfect. What it means is, have that love for the lost that he has. That's what it's saying. And if you don't have that love for the lost that the Father has, you're not perfect like he is. The Lord God causes the rain to fall on the just. And it's a blessing, the rain. Don't take it as a negative. It's a good thing. He causes the good to happen to the righteous, and he causes the blessing to happen to the unrighteous. The sun is a blessing. He allows the blessing for the righteous and the unrighteous, and so on and so forth. And that's the heart we need to have. And I think I'll just call it to an end there. And perhaps a challenge to me, and perhaps to yourselves, is pray for those that you see around you. Maybe that neighbour who's awkward. Maybe that person that we come into contact with. Just pray for them. That difficult character. They don't have to be difficult. It could just be, just pray for those that are not in the kingdom. I'm not saying, you know, do you know what I mean? It's the whole spectrum. But God puts people into your path, doesn't he? He puts people into the path of this church. As a church, we have people that we have regular contact with. They're not here. I don't see them here now, but we have contact with them. We can pray for them. And we can pray for those around us in our own individual lives. And by praying for them, you build a love for them. You know, you build a heart for them. So I'll just finish with a prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you demonstrated your love by sending your Son Jesus. You demonstrate your care for humanity by, as it says, you give blessing to the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous. Your heart is for all. And you want our heart to be for all. And you want us to share that with them, to share your love. And as we start this new year, Lord, we just pray that you would encourage us to love those, the unloved, or those that you put into contact with us. In Jesus' name, amen.